It's time! Hey, Dave, listen up, please!
Scotty, that's a great question. I got a question for you, though, Scotty. You know that there's other players on our team besides Desi.
But what are you waiting for?
I don't know. Something amazing.
Jones for three. And he banks it in.
Bailey. Up and in and a chance for three.
Welcome into the basketball podcast of Mid-America. I am Seth Campbell, joined, as always, by Scotty Bornlon. And it was a successful week, easy for me to say, Scotty. It was a successful week for the Arkansas Razorbacks. They split 1-1, which is what we said they needed to do in the last basketball podcast of Mid-America. They had a little bit of a bitter taste in their mouth after that Tennessee game, one that really felt like they could have won, they just couldn't put it away. But then they were able to build off of that solid performance against Tennessee and take it into the Georgia game at home, where they beat Georgia by 30. So all in all, I would say that was definitely a positive week for the Razorbacks and Aaron Musselman's squad.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I think Arkansas did pretty much everything well except take care of the ball. Like, we saw some sloppiness. Like, Jalen Tate, I think, turned in a season high in turnovers and matched a career high, which is, I think, is – he's had a few high turnover games this year, but he's not a guy that, like, he's not a high turnover guy. Like, every game, like, you're not expecting at the end of each game to see, you know, three or four turnovers. He can be pretty clean, you know, with his floor game. I think he had six at Tennessee. And then, like, Desi Stills had a few really careless ones. Like, he just let a ball bounce out of bounds because he didn't catch a pass with two hands. Like, simple things like that. And also, I think Arkansas stepped on the sideline twice, and Ethan Henderson stepped on the baseline once. Like, those are things that Arkansas, you know, needed to clean up going into Georgia. Cause I thought Arkansas's man-to-man defense was really good against Tennessee. Like, you know, John Fulkerson kind of had his way with Connor Vanover several times. I think Connor was like eight of 16 defending, you know, when he was the nearest defender to a shot, which not great. But Fulkerson, you know, Jimmy Dyke said flick it, you know, I think about a million times on the broadcast.
He said Fulky about a million times.
Yeah, I was getting real tired of that. But lots of positives to come out of that game, including, you know, Vance finding himself, I think, especially his perimeter shot and making some plays off the dribble, not being as stiff with the ball when he puts it on the floor. That was encouraging. And then you just kind of saw it all manifest on Saturday against Georgia when you're playing a little bit lesser of a team. Jalen Williams was awesome. He gave great minutes. He was plus 29, you know, when he was on the floor. And Devo and Moses kind of led the way with, you know, scored 45 between them really efficiently. Really efficiently. I think they were 18 of 28 from the floor. Didn't take many bad shots at all. And then Jalen Tate bounced back and turned in 15-point 10-assist double-double, had one turnover. Seven of his 10 assists went to either Moses or Devo. So while Moses and Devo were really good, Jalen Tate, you know, played a role in that, kind of set the table for a 99-point offensive explosion, really. I think they scored like 56 points in the second half, generated turnovers, turned that into transition points. It was pretty impressive. It was probably Arkansas's best all-around performance in league play, at least.
Yeah, and then we really got to see the emergence for the first time of Vegas Vance. I think you tweeted about it, Scotty, but it was nice to see Vance blossom into this role. But even beyond that, for me, I think that this is a key piece to the Arkansas Razorbacks, that if Justin Smith doesn't go down, we may not see Vance Jackson evolve into the player that he is now. And then if you can fit this Vance Jackson into Justin Smith coming back, then all of a sudden I think Arkansas is even more dangerous. Not that they weren't to begin with, but I think if you're trying to look at the bright side of Justin Smith going down, I think that the emergence of Vance Jackson is truly a bright spot.
Yeah, it's been big. I think you know, I think the first game when Justin Smith went down, first game he missed was Missouri. Vance didn't really see the floor, like maybe a minute. And I think Eric Musselman realized, you know, it might be time to give Vance another shot. Just, you know, give him a little bit of a confidence boost, play him his minutes, get him some shots, see if they fall. And then when shots fall for Vance, it's like he's a completely different player. And, you know, he knocks down a few perimeter jumpers, and then that opens up his shot fake where he's getting into the lane. He's going up and under and finishing with a left hand twice, you know, once against Eve Pons, which is crazy. Like that video that I posted on Twitter, like that was Vegas Vance. That was Vance Jackson playing in the Mountain West Conference Tournament at New Mexico. Good. Like that was excellent. And then the step through move he made in the second half after he got a defender off his feet, also really good. I like that left-handed finish. Like that's a pretty nice thing to have in your bag for sure. But I really like Vance on the glass too. Like as good as he was from deep, you know, against Tennessee, he finished with 9 rebounds. And I think sometimes, like maybe even me and you have, you know, maybe questioned his toughness a little bit. Like he's a guard trapped in a forward's body, a lot of people say. But you know, he got big, and he used his wingspan and used, you know, just some general defensive instincts that I think he's got to, you know, make an impact on the glass. And he's I think against Georgia, he finished with like 4 or 5 assistable passes, which is pretty good. Like normally I think Vance had like 1 or 2 in the first 3 games in league play. So not only is he's scoring, which is a bit like, it's a big plus, and hitting the glass fairly well, like he's getting others involved too, which is, I mean, you like to see that. That's very well-rounded run from him lately.
And then you also have gotten to see the emergence talking about of guys going down and seeing guys come perform. Of Devo Davis, he's really been able to step up with, you know, maybe some of these minutes that he's playing would go to KK Robinson if KK wasn't available, which if you don't know, he's out for a significant portion of time
after surgery. The rest of the year. Yeah.
Okay, so it is the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember off the top of my head. I didn't want to say that if it wasn't. So he's out for the rest of the year. So you have your other 3 freshmen to step up, and especially Devontae. He's done a fantastic job.
Yeah, he's been really good, like really taking advantage of some of the minutes that he's played. Like him and Jalen Williams, both their run lately has been super valuable. And I'll get into – I wrote about Jalen yesterday. I can get into some of his impact in a little bit. But Devo's just – like I think we saw a little bit of confidence come out, you know, with his jumper. Like he had a nice step-back jumper on that kind of the left pocket, left of the lane, kind of in transition, just smooth as could be. And then no hesitation on a left corner 3, which is, I mean, that's really good to see. And he missed one from the right corner too, but I mean, it was confident pull from him. So I like that. And he had 7 rebounds and 6 assists too. Like he's very, very good. Like Eric Musselman said 100 times, like just corralling loose balls, and he's a deflections machine. It seems like he's always around the ball. And I think he can kind of lull defenders to sleep, you know, when he's in transition. We've seen a couple times in the last few games where he's, you know, just sudden change of pace has opened up the lane for him, where he's hit a couple of those nice little lefty floaters from about, you know, maybe just a little bit inside that SEC logo. That's a really good move for a freshman that hasn't played just a ton, but he's, you know, he's really starting to come along in SEC play. He's played really well, I think, in half of Arkansas's SEC games. And, you know, he might be a guy that to match some of the length that LSU is going to bring to the floor on Wednesday. I think Devo's definitely one of the candidates to, you know, maybe check a guy like Javonte Smart, who, you know, if you kind of limit him, you know, he might be I don't know that he's the head of the snake, but he makes a lot of things go for them. Devo's been just fantastic. Remember last week when we talked on the podcast, I said he might be Arkansas's most improved player down the stretch. And then he goes out and flirts with a triple-double and his second SEC start. Like, that's great stuff.
And to move forward now to Arkansas's game against LSU, Scotty, it's going to be interesting to see what Musselman elects to do. If he elects to start Vance and keep Connor off of the floor, or if Connor Vanover starts but doesn't play a lot. We mentioned it a little bit, just talking back and forth, of this LSU game is not a good matchup, and this LSU team is not a good matchup for Connor Vanover.
Yeah, I think you're right. And the same way that LSU is not particularly a great matchup for him, Georgia wasn't either. Like, Georgia plays at hyper speed. Like, I think Dane Bradshaw or Kevin Fitzgerald the other day said that, you know, the pace that Arkansas and Georgia were playing at was Houston Rockets like. Like, it was one or two passes to an open shot and the ball was going up. And Connor can't really stay on the floor in a game like that. And Tumani Kamara kind of took advantage of him. You know, he had 15 points in the game, but eight were in like the 317 that Connor was on the floor, which is just not great. I figure we'll probably see plenty of Vance and Jalen Williams maybe together on the floor with maybe three other guards. I mean, you can kind of pick and choose who you want out of that guard spot, but I'm sure they'll tinker with rotations in game and, you know, just kind of see which grouping works the best. But the matchups are going to be super interesting because who checks Trendon Watford? He's 6'9", 240. You know, he can face up and score, you know, mid-range area. He can also step out and shoot the three, but he can bang with you, take advantage of some mismatches on the interior. Pretty good passer for a guy his size. Like, he's league-bound. That guy's he's phenomenal. But then there's also Darius Days, who I think's got a little bit of Draymond Green in him. Very vocal guy, energy big. He can step out and shoot the three too. I don't know that he's a very high assist guy, but his motor is just phenomenal. And then who checks Cam Thomas? Like, you know, he's a game time decision, but there's no freshman in the country that can score like that guy can. Like, he's leading the league in scoring. You know, before he got hurt at Ole Miss, he was averaging like 25 a game, and he's taking like 36% of LSU shots when he's on the floor. So he's a high volume guy, but he's pretty efficient. He's deadly. And then Javonte Smart. Like, I think that might be the matchup for Devo. That's a big matchup because, like I said, I think Javonte Smart, you know, in a way, kind of makes LSU go at that point guard spot.
Yeah, and then like you say, Cameron Thomas, Trendon Watford, Javonte Smart, Darius Days. You just go down the list, and there's just talent after talent. And mm-hmm. So Arkansas is going to have to match up and figure out ways to guard LSU. But Arkansas also, if there is something that's going for them, LSU's just been putrid on defense all year long.
Yeah, not very good.
Which the Razorbacks can fill it up pretty well. And so, as you know, if you go down and look, you know, I'll list some of the stats for this game here in a second when I can pull them up. But these two teams can put it in the basket without a doubt. When you look at the rankings, both are receiving votes in the AP poll, you know, and this is just overall NET, Arkansas is 21, LSU 22, KenPom, Arkansas 25, LSU 24. But then you go to scoring. Well, Arkansas is first in the SEC in scoring, LSU second. So mm-hmm. defense is going to be key, but it's not necessarily going to be like a Nick Saban back when he was with LSU and first got to Alabama defense where they're only going to allow 14, 21 points. It's more going to be like, when can you come up with those key stops? If you watch, to draw some more comparisons to football, if you watch the title game and you watch the main ESPN broadcast, which I did for a little bit, it was Fowler was on there with Herb Street, and he was saying that Ohio State's entire game plan was basically let Alabama drive the ball all the way down to the red zone, and then when the field got shorter, try and cover them there. Now, obviously, that didn't work either because apparently nobody can guard Devontae Smith, but it's the same concept. When you need to get a stop on defense, when it's going to come down to it, push is going to come to shove, who can get the stop on defense to give your offense the opportunity to take the lead, I think is going to be key in this game for Arkansas. Really, in this game for both teams.
Yeah, no, I think Arkansas needs to limit LSU's transition opportunities. Arkansas's half-court defense against Georgia was lights out. And I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but Eric Musselman was talking about how overly pleased he was with how Arkansas defended in the half-court and contested a lot of shots, stayed vertical, didn't give Georgia too many opportunities at the free throw line. And I was impressed with Jalen Williams. You know, he comes into the game after Kamara's scored 6 points real quick on Connor Vanover, And Kamara, his first touch after Jalen Williams comes in the game, takes it right at Jalen and scores on him. But after that, 7 points the rest of the way, no rebounds. They kept him off the glass. And I think Arkansas, like, they've got to do that against LSU too. Like, LSU's got the top offensive efficiency rating in the league in conference play. They're number 5 in the country for the entire season. I mean, like you said, they can really fill it up. Arkansas is number 3 offensive efficiency in SEC play. I think an area that Arkansas might be able to take advantage of LSU, and you would have called me crazy for saying this last year, but I think Arkansas might be able to, you know, with a group effort from like Moses and Jalen and maybe even Vance, Devo, like LSU's been pretty suspect on the defensive glass. So like if Arkansas misses shots, get to the glass, get second opportunities, and you know, those dirty work points that Arkansas has been really good at, especially when Moses has hit the glass this year, those dirty work points can, you know, be a difference maker, you know, when you're in a slugfest on the road, trying to, you know, notch a key road win.
Yeah. Mind you, last time Arkansas visited Baton Rouge, they were out rebounded on the offensive glass. So offensive rebounds by 20, 23-3. So yeah, when you look at that, you might think that you are a little crazy, but this is a completely different Arkansas Razorbacks team. And you mentioned that Scotty had, you know, LSU is not just the tallest. They're not just the biggest. They're going to run probably 6'9" at you. They're going to be super athletic. Yeah. But Arkansas can use some of their size. They're not going to be just outmanned like they were last year. They're going to have the bodies if they can get in there and give you second and third opportunities to get a ball in the bucket.
Something that impresses me too, you know, when I look at Arkansas's offensive rebounding, like they're 9th in the league, you know, rebounding almost 30% of their missed shots, but they've only had Justin Smith for one half of that, like half of a half, if we're being, you know, completely honest. And so that's kind of encouraging. Like, you obviously, you want to see that number be a little bit better. South Carolina leads the league at 40.5%, which is,
of course, they've only played one
outrageous game. Right. I mean, that's an outrageous number. But a team like Missouri with quality bigs, especially like Jeremiah Tillman, they're last in league at 24%. Arkansas, without its best offensive rebounder, you know, is still grabbing 30% of its missed shots. That's pretty encouraging. I think Arkansas's guards have to do a good job of, you know, just reacting to missed shots and, you know, trying to put themselves in the best position to grab some extra possessions.
I think so. All right, Scotty, now you look ahead, Arkansas playing LSU, and that's going to be a fantastic game. But if you look ahead to Arkansas's game on Saturday, they're going to play at Alabama, which we talked about Alabama on the podcast last week. And we said that they had a big week upcoming, whether or not that they would be the contenders that they really are. They had just beaten Florida, but they had a big game against Auburn because Auburn's got Sharif Cooper back. When you look at it now, after Alabama winning that game, I think the litmus test is going to be tonight when they play Kentucky, because as much as we wanted Kentucky to be bad and their non-conference record to really show and show that that's the team that they are, of course, whenever we got into SEC play, Kentucky's undefeated at 3-0 and is going to be the same Kentucky. They're going to make the tournament and they're going to be the powerhouse again of the SEC. Live, die, you know, death, taxes, and Kentucky being good at basketball. But Alabama has an opportunity to really show that they can be the premier team in this league if they can beat Kentucky. I believe that game is at home. Nope, I lied. It is at Kentucky. So to go into Rupp and play the Kentucky Wildcats would be a huge victory for Alabama, and then having Arkansas their next game in Tuscaloosa. It's going to be a tough matchup for them.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, if we're being honest, like Alabama, if they win at Kentucky, I don't think there's any way that we can say that they're not the best in the league right now, even though Tennessee still has an argument, obviously, with one loss. But, you know, if Alabama wins at Kentucky, that would give them road wins at Tennessee, at Auburn, and at Kentucky, you know, in their first 5 league games. That'd be really solid. And maybe – that would be an opportunity for Arkansas to catch them slipping a little bit, you know, on Saturday. You know, I think last week I said that was a toss up. I still kind of think that, you know, I think Eric Musselman last year when Arkansas went to Alabama had a good plan. I think he's going to have a good plan for them again. But a guy, if you want to watch Alabama, just kind of see what kind of makes them go on the interior, watch a guy named James Rojas. Like he's, let me see what hell, what's his say? He's 6'8", 220, just a rebounding machine, like just tough. And probably one of those guys that if I was playing against him, would probably get under my skin a little bit just because he's tough and he's a little bit, he plays with a little bit of flair. And he's not afraid to talk to you a little bit and get in your face. He kind of makes them go on the interior. And then they got Jordan Brunner, the kid from Yale, you know, that I think Arkansas was kind of in the mix for last year as a grad transfer. And Herb Jones is really, really solid. See what they've got in conference play. John Petty's shooting 45% from three in conference. And they've got a kid named Josh Primo shooting 40% from three in conference. Like they've got weapons all over, and then hasn't even talked about Jaden Shackelford yet. He was really awesome when Arkansas played down there last year. But yeah, if they beat Kentucky, I mean they'd be my number one team in the league, especially over Tennessee. Like I think they'd have the tiebreaker with Tennessee, given that they won there earlier. But Kentucky's just getting better. I feel like every game, like in their first game in conference, they finally found their perimeter threat, and then when Kentucky goes to Florida last weekend, they get Keon Brooks back, who's a key piece for them on the interior. He had a nice game. So they're, you know, figuring things out. Go figure.
Yeah. How long do you, you know, if you're Alabama, you're sitting here going, what all do we have to do to get ranked? We're undefeated in conference. And
yeah, they were right on the verge of getting in. They were pulled this week, right?
26. If you go by, they were the most team receiving votes that didn't get ranked. But just the early losses to Stanford, which isn't terrible by any stretch of the imagination, and then versus Clemson, and then Western Kentucky, which Arkansas fans are very familiar with Western Kentucky after last year's game. Those aren't terrible losses, but when you do have three losses in the non-conference and a non-conference season that's shortened even, I can understand why, you know, it's tough. But as Mike Nabors, the women's coach, always says, you want to be hitting your stride now and towards the end of the year, not at the beginning of the year. So this is a good spot for Alabama. When you look at Arkansas,
they wish they had that Western Kentucky game back. I mean, lose it to at home to Western Kentucky. They want that one back for sure.
Yeah. When you look at Arkansas' schedule, it's tough this week at LSU, at Alabama. I'm going to give you my opinion, Scotty, and then ask for yours. I'm going to say, though, that Arkansas, you know, if you would have liked to win that Tennessee game because it was so close, it would look good, a quality win, and then you really feel like you don't have to split this week in one of these games. Now, I'm even going to say that you don't have to split these games even with the Tennessee loss. It's going to be, you know, your record's not going to look great. You're going to be sitting at 2-4, but I think what helps you out is you have Auburn at home, which is a team you've already beaten, and yes, they have Sharif Cooper back, which that'll be a tougher game, but still, it's a winnable game at home. Then you go at Alabama, at Vanderbilt, pardon me, and then Ole Miss. So you have three very winnable games over the SEC Big 12 Challenge that would put you back at 5-4 and right in the mix to be in that top four, which is what you're shooting for, so that you can get a bye in the first two rounds of the SEC tournament. So I'm saying that these next two, you don't have to split. It would be really nice because either one of these teams, a road win against either one of these teams would look good, but you don't necessarily have to split against these two teams.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think, though, if Arkansas loses both, like they need to be competitive, like very competitive in both. But at the same time, I think if Arkansas is really competitive in both, we'll be like, we could be looking back at the end of the year and be like, man, if Arkansas could have grabbed one of those two road wins, they'd be, you know, looking even better, you know, from a resume standpoint. I still just think that the Alabama game's a toss-up. Like, I just said I think Alabama might be the best team in the league, but I think Arkansas kind of matches up pretty well, especially from a guard play standpoint. But after this week, you know, I think Arkansas' schedule sets up fairly nice. Like you said, Sharif Cooper definitely changes things with Auburn, but Auburn doesn't defend anybody. So I think you feel pretty good about playing them at home, probably get a win there. Or at least I would consider that a likely win at home. And then you travel to Vanderbilt. Like anytime I think you see Vanderbilt on the schedule, you're happy with that, even though they've got some players like Scottie Pippen Jr. is the real deal. He can play. But then I just watched Ole Miss against LSU from over the weekend, and Ole Miss just doesn't impress me. Like, they don't have, to me, it just doesn't seem like they have many guys that can just go hoop. Like, they're just kind of a jumbled mess right now. I think part of that could have been, you know, just having 24 to 36 hours to prepare for a really tough, good LSU team, made them look pretty bad. But that Ole Miss game is the first of three straight home games in league play for Arkansas. So that could, I think that stretch right there, you know, I know you go out of conference and play Oklahoma State on the road, you know, in the Big 12 SEC Challenge, but I think Arkansas from a league standpoint, you know, can build a little bit of momentum. Starting with that Ole Miss game, you got Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Texas A&M at home in league play, back to back to back, with Oklahoma State thrown in there. So Arkansas can build a little bit of steam going in the back half of the schedule.
Yeah, that would be huge. You want to be playing, as I said earlier, your best ball towards the end of the season. But if you can get these wins early, it only helps your resume as you're trying to go in to March and try and get a good seed. You know, right now, I was looking up bracketology. Joe Lunardi has Arkansas as an 8 seed in the NCAA tournament, playing Indiana of all teams. But I think that, you know, if you can shoot, I see the potential for this Arkansas basketball team to be anywhere from, you know, if they continue to play like we expect them to play, I expect them to make the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. And I expect them to be anywhere from a 6 seed to a 10. There's a big difference. There's a big difference between 6 and 10. So I think that, you know, Arkansas fans are also all too familiar with the 8 and 9 seeds, what Arkansas has gotten recently. So if you can get a win against LSU on the road or a win against Alabama here, that could be the difference between you moving, being an 8 to a 7 or a 7 to a 6. So while you, like you say, while you want to be playing your best ball towards the end of the season, you need to take advantage of the opportunities. And this could be an opportunity for Arkansas to steal one of these games against quality opponent.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I was looking at Tom's SEC report today too, and home teams in SEC play are 12 and 12.
It's just no home court advantage.
Yeah, there's not really any home court advantage. So it's basically the better team, the team that brings more energy and is just with it more than the team they're playing, is generally in this year, you're going to come out with a win. I think if Arkansas plays the way it did at Tennessee, minus 20 turnovers, you know, maybe if you cut that in half, or maybe you finish with 11 or 12, I think you're going to have a good shot to, you know, win both of those games and at the very least be in both this week.
All right. Well, good stuff. Scotty, you got anything else to add?
I don't think so. I think I'm good.
All right. Well, we really appreciate you listening to us here on the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. If you want more information about the Arkansas basketball team, you can check us out online at wholehogsports.com. Scotty's got some great articles up there, as well as the entire wholehogsports.com crew. As Scotty mentioned, Tom Murphy's SEC report is up there. You can get plugged in to all of those things on wholehogsports.com. Also, if you like the podcast, make sure to subscribe so that way you don't miss a podcast. And then also have, please share us with a friend. That way that you can share the most enjoyable podcast that you've listened to this week with all of your friends. Isn't that right, Scott?
That's it.
Well, for Scotty Borderline, I am Seth Campbell saying thank you so much for joining us. And we will see you back here next week.